Hello, everybody, and welcome to our fantastic surprise training tonight. I wanted to thank everybody for joining us. And tonight we have a very, very, very special treat. Mrs. Woodsmall, an international author, speaker, presenter, motivation expert, mind development, just every, I reached out in an email to thank the Woodsmalls for some insightful information that they have been, I came across it, and it was so wonderful. So I want to thank everybody for being here, and I purposely didn't put her name in the email just to kind of create a little bit of curiosity, but I am so excited that you guys are here, and we're going to get started here in just a second. I want to make sure that everybody can hear us before we get started. I'm going to do a little audio check. Hello, Alicia and Clarence, Victoria, Ram, Ben, Keith, Lori. Excellent. Frank. Hello, Frank. George, how you doing, sir? George, by the way, I sent you a Skype. I would like to talk to you a little bit more. Dr. Mark, hi, how are you, sir? I haven't seen you in a while. I'd like to talk to you too. Mike. And we have lots of mics tonight. Hello, all the mics. And Paul. Everybody. Hello, Brian. Hello, Stephen. I am very, very excited to be able to share tonight. I guess the easiest way to summarize this is we had a couple technical difficulties just getting going, so it kind of threw me off balance as to what I was, how I was going to proceed. It was supposed to be polished and smooth, and I have the recording going upstairs, and I'm actually, because of all the difficulties, I'm going to start the recording here. And the recording is now going on this end, and I want to pull up the notes here just to make sure that I don't miss anything, and we're going to get started. Mrs. Woodsmall, because it is the 3rd of July and because there are guests involved tonight, we're going to try and keep it kind of short. Some of the things that I want to address and that she is going to expand upon is that internal dialogue that's always going on, that chatter, sometimes that holds us back. And so I am so pleased and so proud to invite Mrs. Woodsmall to share with us. And so, again, thank you all for coming. Mrs. Woodsmall, can we do an audio check real quick and make sure everybody can hear you?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Hello, I can hear you.
Type and please call me Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Let's not be formal here.
Excellent. Thank you so very, very much. Everybody is commenting. Yes, they can see you. Marilyn, I am going to convert you over to an organizer so that way you'll be able to see the questions if you want. Just do me one favor and please don't hit the end webinar for all button. You can hit all the other buttons, just not that one. It will end everything. And everybody says that they can hear you. So there you go.
Excellent.
You
now. Very good. Thank you so much, Wes. First, let me say I'm very honored to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation. And I'd like to tell your participants here how blessed they are to have you as their mentor and guide through the sessions that you have with them. I just think you're a wonderful, amazing human being. So thank you for being who you are.
Wow, thank you. And with that, let's go ahead and get started because time is kind of short.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that mysterious little thing called internal dialogue. And first I'd like to start by saying that it's something that most people are not aware of. I remember in the early years when we began working with Olympic athletes in 1990, we would talk about internal dialogue and we would get looks like, what? Now fortunately, consciousness has shifted and a lot of the concepts that were not within conscious awareness at that time are now within conscious awareness, and that's a good thing. I'm still finding, though, that there are a lot of little secrets that we have that most people are not aware of. I'd like to share those with you tonight. And why is the internal dialogue, the internal voice, so important? Why is it important that we be able to monitor it? Well, first of all, our internal voice is one of the keys to controlling internal state, your internal state. And what does that mean? It means that your internal state directly impacts your external behavior. And wouldn't it be great to be able to control your state at will? We all have that ability. It's simply a question of tuning into it. Two, our internal voice is a very important element, in fact, a vital element in developing self-awareness. And the more self-aware that you can become, the more you can be in control of your emotions, of your internal state. Now, wouldn't that be a great place to be? You know, our human side, our human nature is such that, you know, we'll walk through our journey of life and certain things trigger us into behaving in ways we may not be happy with at a given point in time. So being able to control our internal voice is one of the ways that we can monitor that journey and put it within our control. So the paths that we take are ones that we want to be on with joy and happiness and agility and flexibility. Another reason why it's important to be able to monitor our internal voice is that it's a very important part of our identity. And our identity is the key to who we are, obviously. And the next statement I'd like you to think about very carefully. You are controlled by that with which you identify. You are controlled by that with which you identify. So wouldn't it be helpful to be able to identify with things that allow you to achieve your goals, which allow you to be the happiest you can be and be the best that you can be and beyond? That's what internal voice is all about. One of the elements of identity that allows us to control our path in life. Also, our identity is connected to our sense of self. So whatever identity you have that's connected with your internal voice is directly related to the outcomes that you choose in life and the outcomes that actually manifest. So if you, for example, identify with positive thoughts, you're going to have a positive influence on your emotional state. If you have negative thoughts, your behavior will take on the negative overtones, and then your emotional state's going to suffer the consequences. So what are some of the internal states that our inner voice creates? Well, obviously positive and negative. Some of the positive ones are joy, happiness, fulfillment, gratitude. Some of the negative states are fear, self-doubt, sadness, worry, anxiety, depression, self-sabotage. And very often, you'll find that they're triggered by our internal voice. So how does this internal voice manifest? It's often reflected in our beliefs. So let me just spend a minute or two on beliefs, because they're such an important foundational part of identity and our internal voice. What are beliefs? I usually define beliefs as generalizations that we hold to be true or false about the self, about other, about the environment, about the world, about concepts in general. And the most powerful beliefs that we have are those that we hold about ourselves, because they're the foundational building blocks of our identity. And remember what I said earlier, you are controlled by that with which you identify. So it's really important that we begin to identify with beliefs that support our outcomes, that support our goals in life, and most important, to have beliefs that support your mission. Why are you here? Your true mission. Now, it's our negative, or what I call disempowering beliefs, that are the basis of failure. In particular, it's those disempowering beliefs that literally give our power away to others. Just picture yourself. Would you like to give away your internal power? Which, by the way, is not power to control or manipulate others. When I refer to internal power, what I'm talking about is the power of your truth. Your truth that allows you to be who you are meant to be and beyond. So are you willing to give that away to others? Of course not. Would you like to give away this inner power to others on a silver platter? You're doing that every single time that you iterate a disenabling or disempowering belief in your mind through your internal voice. How do you know if you have a disenabling belief? It's pretty easy, actually. Most of the time, when you have a disempowering or a belief that's that you would consider negative that impedes your performance, it will take the form of any excuse, any rationalization or explanation for why you aren't or why you can't do something. In short, any excuse, any rationalization, any explanation for failure is a disempowering belief. And I can guarantee that that belief is going to impede your achieving your goal, no matter what your goal is. It will be blocked. It's like a cancerous cell that metastasizes and creates a mental tumor that invades the mind-body. And thus it affects our mental state and our physical state. Now, why is this? This is because the mind-body are part of the same cybernetic system. You see, what we think is reflected in our physiology. They comprise our inner-outer navigational equipment, the cybernetic system. It's like an inner navigational tool. And furthermore, this mind-body system, cybernetic system, it's like our own self-contained feedback loop. So I guarantee that whenever you change your mind, there will be a change in your physical body that may or may not be obvious to you. At certain times, the changes may remain outside of your conscious awareness. And that, again, is why it's so important to be able to monitor your mind and to monitor your internal voice. Think a moment. Just take a moment. Take in a breath. Inhale quickly and exhale slowly in several breaths. Inhale quickly and exhale slowly. And I'd like you to notice if you are saying anything in your mind right now. And I simply want you to jot it down. And I'd also like you to note what you are feeling in your physical body. And put that aside for a moment, and we will come back to that. This is the first step in monitoring your internal voice. Now, I mentioned beliefs, and the most important beliefs, the most powerful beliefs that we have, take the form of certain verbs. I can, I can't, I am not. And when you say these, I can or I can't, I am not, you are expressing beliefs that you have about yourself. And what you're doing is putting into motion the energies that will allow you to either achieve or not achieve your outcome. And whether that outcome is simply to be happy, whether it be to achieve great success in your marketing, whether it be to find your happiness with your mate, your significant other, whatever that may be, your internal voice and your belief about that I can or I am not, or I can't and I am, are going to be critical elements. Think about for a moment, I can do it. I can't do that. Feel the difference in your body. Feel the difference in the part of your body that is telling you. You see, the cybernetic system is about communication. It's all about communicating that connection between the mind and body. And the more you are aware of this system, of this mind-body connection, the easier it is to control your internal voice. If I were to say, I'm creating a thriving, self-sustaining business for myself, say that. And feel the difference when you're saying, I'm not achieving my goal. I can't help thousands of people. I can't have satisfied customers. Feel the difference. It may be subtle for some. It may be very obvious to others. So it's vital to be able to be aware, aware. Awareness is key. Without awareness, nothing is really possible in terms of personal growth and development, or very little, I should say. So it's really vital to be able to control this inner voice that may say either good things or bad things to you. And you're going to notice that there's certain emotions that are associated with certain voices in our heads. When we have fear, I work with executives, I work with athletes, all sorts of people. And fear may mean one thing to one person and something else to another. So it's really important that you begin to hone into whatever is reflected as fear or self-doubt in your own internal voice or self-sabotage. Because each of these often triggers self-sabotage. Now, we are usually fearful of things that with which we are not comfortable, or things that we don't know. And at some point, hopefully another evening, I'll be able to share some techniques with you that can eliminate fear very, very quickly out of the mind body. Tonight, though, I'm simply focusing on internal voice. You see, our voices in our heads, the sounds, it's really more than internal voice. It's also sounds. It's also music. Think about a time that you were happily working on a project or at work or with a significant other, and you heard the song that suddenly reminded you of something that wasn't very pleasant early in your life. Or just the opposite. You're not feeling good about something, and all of a sudden you hear this music. And it really changes your whole internal state. You're suddenly really happy. There's that mind-body connection again. So you are thinking, there is a switch that goes on. There's a change in your mind that triggers a physiological response in your body. See, I think of our internal voice as either our ally or our enemy. And it's really your choice. Which do you choose? Do you want your internal voice to be your enemy, or do you want it to be your ally? You see, the negative voices, the negative sounds, I view them as mental vampires. They really drain the lifeblood out of us. They drain our spirit. Is that what you want? Of course not. And that is why it is so important to be aware. So what do we need to be aware of? I talked about negative and positive internal voice. What does that mean? Well, there are two aspects to our internal voice which are critical pieces. The first part has to do with content. What I mean by that, content is about what you are saying to yourself. And most people naturally focus on what they're saying. However, that's not enough. That's only part of the equation. And quite frankly, in coaching a lot of people, athletes and whatnot, even with Olympic athletes or CEOs, sometimes what they're saying may be insignificant in the context of enhancing performance. There's another element that's much more important, which I'll come to in a second. As far as content is concerned, though, I'd like to focus on how. You know, it's really easy to say, this is what to do. In my work, I focus on the how-to. And as a behavioral modeler, I determine how experts do what they do. I unpack their unconscious competency, because often I found experts know what they do, they don't know how they do it. So I'm unpacking that for them. The same thing here. with internal dialogue. It's important to know how to change it, not simply what to change. So let's talk about content. Be aware of your language. For example, how many of you have been in a situation where you said, okay, you're talking to yourself and you're saying, oh, don't do that. What happened when you said that to yourself? I'll give you a couple of specific examples. And often in restaurants, you'll see signs that say, don't trip. Well, studies have shown that more people have accidents in restaurants where they see signs, don't trip, because they're repeating that to themselves in their mind, in their internal voice. So what's going to happen? They're going to trip. Why? It has to do with the working of our subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind does not compute negation. So if I were to say to you all, don't see those yellow striped monkeys on the polka dot picket pink fence. What are you going to see? You're going to see those monkeys on that pink polka dot fence, because in order to make sense of the statement, your mind has to picture it. The subconscious mind cannot compute negation. So it's really critical that you be aware of how you are creating the content in your mind. See, what we're seeking here is alignment of all aspects of being, in this case, the conscious and subconscious minds. It's all about alignment. And quite frankly, the goal of personal growth is to achieve an awareness of self so that we can monitor and be in charge of this change. Really important point. So now I invite you to begin to be aware of what you are saying in your mind, the content, how you structure your language. You want to become conscious of the language you are using. I'll give you another example. One of the Olympians we were working with, he was at one of the World Games. This goes back maybe, this was 1995. Incredible athlete, really, really skilled and talented. And he was on a very critical dive. And in the middle of his dive, he said, don't kick now. And that split second of difference, he kicked, because he told himself to kick by not saying do not kick, and he missed meddling by just a matter of several points because of that one phrase. And once he learned about how to control and monitor his internal dialogue and understood, I talked to him about content and being aware of his language, he never forgot that lesson. And now in working with others, he does the same thing. And he's helping many, many people in the process. Another example. Oh, I really love being here this evening, but I have a dinner engagement in 10 minutes. Or, I really want to accomplish my goal. Say this to yourselves. I really want to accomplish my goal, but something is getting in the way. Now, I'd like you to change that to, I really want to accomplish my goal, and something is getting in the way. You see? It becomes a trigger that impedes performance. Feel the difference between and but. I guarantee from now on, when you begin, to use and instead of but, you're going to change both your mind, your mental state, and your physiological state. Your mind-body is going to feel aligned, and you're going to feel what I call a synergetic flow throughout your body-mind. Because butt serves as an impediment unconsciously. It just feels, it doesn't feel right. So I invite you from now on to start using and instead of but. You know, it's funny, whenever I'm listening to something or someone and they're going on and on, and I hear but, it's like this red light that starts flashing in my mind. Oh, I wish I could stop them and tell them, you know, and I do if I'm working with someone. I will say and they get it. This is really key. Now, this has to do with being aware of the language and how you speak and the impact of your language on your mind-body, i.e. on your identity, on your beliefs, on your emotions, on every single building block of who you are and why you're here. Now, there's something even more significant when it comes to controlling our internal voice. The first one is content. Being aware of content and structuring the content in a way that is empowering you rather than taking away your inner power to be the best that you can be and beyond. The next important aspect of controlling our internal voice is how you say what you say. What I mean by this is your tonality. More often than not, it is your tonality that is creating the negative emotions, the negative manifestations of self-doubt, of fear, of self-sabotage. And more often than not, it is the tonality that is outside of your conscious awareness. So tonight, I'm inviting you to become more aware, to become aware of your tonality in all that you do. It's an interesting process because you're going to begin to walk through life every day and listen as a witness, as though you're observing and listening on the outside to your own internal voice and monitoring it. And changing the tonality in ways that are effective for you. For example, let's take criticism. How many of you have critical voices in your head? And interestingly, I've found over the years in my work in studying human typology and studying human difference that there are certain personality types that tend to be more critical than others. In terms of their internal voice. They tend to have, for example, perfectionists tend to have multiple internal voices. I'm not talking about the extreme of schizophrenia where it's manifesting many, many, many different voices that take on actual identities, simultaneous identities that work in and out, that interplay with each other. No, I'm talking about simply engaging in a task or in conversation, and these critical voices are battling with another voice. One voice is saying, oh yeah, you know, I can do this. Another voice is saying, no, you can't. This is difficult. You've never done this before. You can't do it. How many of you have experienced that? Or how many of you have had a mother or father in your early life and as children where their negative critical voices are somehow anchored in your mind? So every time you want to be able to, let's say when you were doing homework and they were bothering you and criticizing the way you were performing a task, and now when you're performing a similar task in terms of execution of something, you're hearing their voice criticizing you, or it may be your own voice. And that's the other point. This internal voice may not only be your voice, it may be an external voice that's creating the negativity, that's creating the negative impact to your performance, to your achieving your goal. So, for example, I had a client once whose father was extremely critical, and he would just bash this person left and right every time. And he fortunately turned out to be CEO of a major company. However, it took a long time for him to really understand what was going on. And working with him, it came down to something very simple, simply changing that internal voice of his father. So I'd like all of you to think of a critical voice, either your own or that of a significant other or your mom or your dad or best friend or whatever, someone who's very critical towards you. Just take a minute here and think of that critical voice, whether it be your own or that of someone else. And notice what it does to you in your body. Remember, whatever we're thinking is going to affect our physiology. Everything we're thinking is going to affect our physiology. So feel that criticism. Feel it in every place that you normally would feel it. And hear that voice saying, oh, you can't do that. Or you did it all wrong. That's not the right way. Or whatever it is they're saying. Now what I'd like you to do is change that voice to someone whom you don't respect at all. Someone, if they were to say something to you, it's like, oh, I don't care what they think. I hope all of you have someone like that. And if you don't, think of something, someone's voice, a comedian or someone really, really funny. Think of Donald Duck. All of you know who Donald Duck is. Think of Donald Duck saying that very same thing. You can't do it, or, oh, that's not the right way. It's all wrong. Switch it to the other voice, that funny voice which makes you laugh. And or voice that, oh, you know, I wouldn't listen to what they have to say. It's ridiculous. Yeah, ridiculous. That ridiculous voice in your head that doesn't hold water, that can't affect you, that doesn't affect you, that is simply there and funny and just sort of rubs off of you like water on a duck, no pun intended. Feel the difference. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. So that's one of the ways to change the voice, to control our internal voice, is to change the voice. And you can change the voice by changing the pitch or changing the volume. In this case, the timbre and the actual voice, we substituted another voice. Another way of controlling the internal voice is to simply stop it and say, stop. When you're saying something negative, that's getting in the way. Stop! Now. Often that's not enough. And that's where I suggest, once you stop it, you replace it, you substitute it with a very pleasant voice, that your supportive inner voice, one that allows you to feel good about yourself. And you all have that voice, I'm sure. So you can stop it and then substitute it. Another way is to turn it down. If you're speaking to yourself in a very loud tone of voice and you want to be calmed down, or you want to change which this tonality is affecting you, you simply turn down the internal voice and you switch it to a voice that is supportive. Now, there may be times where you need to be pumped up and you need that. That voice won't work if you're too calm and you need to be pumped up. You simply raise the volume of that voice and use it in a way that allows you to increase those endorphins and feel energized and ready to go, raring to go. Now, another way of dealing with the internal voice is by using a mantra or an affirmation or a key word. Like in the spiritual circles, a lot of people use om. And you'll find whatever works for you. And that's the key. It's all what works for you. This is about customizing your internal voice, what works for you is not going to work with the next person. See, I view each human being as unique and different, and we need to honor that difference. And by choosing, by creating the personal templates that work for each of us, that's how we honor our uniqueness. And that's what I invite you to do. Now, there are other ways of dealing with the voice. You can simply jam it. Put some sound in there that just gets in the way so you won't listen to it. I'm just sharing a few ways this evening. There are many, many more ways of dealing with internal voice and in controlling it. And I can cover those at another time. And I'd like to be able to invite you to use these little techniques. They're little and yet they're huge because they have such an impact on changing our behavior, on changing our internal state so that external behavior is affected accordingly. Now, there is another option too. You can forget about all of this, everything I've just shared with you in terms of how to control the internal voice, and you can simply suffer the consequences. And you know what? There are a lot of people who love living out of the victim mentality. There are a lot of people who love to suffer. You're not one of them. You are empowered. You have an amazing mentor with you, and you are empowering yourself each and every time you use one of these techniques. And each time you learn something new, it becomes part of your subconscious mind. Again, I'm going back to this notion of subconscious mind because it is such a critical part of who we are. You see, our subconscious mind is like an internal sponge. It's that reservoir, that treasure chest that takes in every single thought, every single thing, every single picture, every single feeling, every single word we've ever seen or heard. It takes it all in as a sponge and keeps it for eternity. So wouldn't it be helpful to put jewels into this treasure chest? Jewels of enlightenment and jewels of self-empowerment and jewels of self-awareness. I've given you some pearls tonight, so I ask you to put these pearls into your personal treasure chest. These are celestial jewels that you have at will. It's simply a question of accessing them when you want. So when do you access? When do you look at your internal dial, your internal voice? When do you use these techniques? Is it before end? Is it before meeting someone new? Is it in preparing a presentation? Well, guess what? It's all the time. Whenever you need it, whenever you don't think you need it, it's there. That internal voice is there. So I simply am asking you and inviting you to accept the jewels and to take them out of your internal treasure chest and use them at will. Remember, suffering is optional. It's up to you to choose. Do you want your mind to be your ally or your enemy? Do you want your internal voice to be your ally or your enemy? It's up to you to monitor your mind and look self-aware. You see, taking control of what your internal state involves two things. It involves, one, being able to repress the expression of that negative internal voice, and two, it involves being able to express positive internal voice whenever you want to, whenever you feel like it, at will. See, most people are focused on how to eliminate or how to repress the expression of negativity. The thing is, once you're in the state, the more alert that you are, the more you can see things or catch things before you get into that state. The more you can be aware of those voices that are creating that state or supporting that negative state, or positive, if that may be the case, and hopefully more positive than not. Whenever you're sustaining, that voice is sustaining a negative state, though, the faster you can get out of that negative state when you are aware. That's because when you're already in that state, in that negative state, there are all sorts of biochemical reactions in the body, of glandular things, mechanisms that are being triggered. Things are being put into action, so it's harder to deal with them. And the chemicals, we can deal with all those biochemical changes. The faster you can get out of a negative state, the faster those changes occur. See, it's all about change. It's about changing the old patterns in the way of performance. Get in the way of your success. Get in the way of your achieving your goals, of your achieving your mission in life. Remember, as I tell my Jaren in my story of Jaren, chance favors the prepared mind. Chance favors the prepared mind. Things only become better by change, not by chance. Things only become better by change, not by chance. For things to change, you must change. For things to change, you must change. And tonight I've shared a few tidbits, several pearls to your chest about change, how you can change your awareness to become aware, to become self-aware by means of monitoring and changing your internal voice contextually so that it is aligned with your goals, with achieving your goals, with achieving, with manifesting your mission in life. You see, all of this is about internal processes and identity, as I said. Alignment. Your identity is not your behavior. Your behavior is the external manifestation of these internal processes, of your attitudes, of the beliefs that I mentioned, emotions, of this internal voice which triggers emotions. And wouldn't it be great to be able to just live through life in an aligned way, aligning all levels of being, and doing so with ease and grace? Yes, with ease and grace. And that ease and grace comes by being on automatic pilot. What I'm sharing with you is how to go on automatic pilot, because we're creating this alignment of being. Be aware of all that you're putting in your subconscious mind so that it is supportive, so that there is not a misalignment or a miscommunication with your conscious mind. Be aware of all that you're putting in your subconscious mind, i.e., in the context of the being, be aware of your internal voice and creating a supportive, empowering internal voice, full of empowering beliefs. Yes, you can. I can. We can. Make it supportive so that all the input going into this internal sponge, that is the subconscious mind, is totally aligned. And remember this at the deepest part of your being, because once you integrate the tools, an integration of the mind, body, spirit, and heart does happen in time and through time. You see, this internal voice is simply one of the mental patterns that we create, that you create in the way. And that's why it's important to change that internal voice. Remember, whatever we think, whatever we say to ourselves, whether it be our internal voice or that of others, that critical voice or that disempowering voice, that fearful voice, that voice of self-doubt, that voice of self-sabotage, drown it out. Change it. Drown it out. Empower the other voice. Give it the power that allows you to be the best that you can be and beyond. Remember that the mind reproduces, the mind will reproduce the last set of instructions that it's given. So if you're not monitoring your mind and you're telling yourself, don't, whatever you're going to be doing, what you're telling yourself not to. And remember, be aware of how you structure the content and how you are saying what you are saying, because it is the structure of the content. It is the language you are using. And remember, rather than but remember, and remember, that it's all about monitoring your mind. It's all about aligning every aspect of your being, because the mind-body is part of that same cybernetic system. You see, we all have that choice. We all have two choices in life. You have two choices in life. You can either be at cause or be at effect. And when you're at cause, you take responsibility for what you do and for what you think. When you are at effect, that's when you become that victim who gives away his or her power on that silver platter to others. And you make the outside world responsible for what you feel and what you do and what you think. And that's where those disempowering beliefs and that negative internal voice that creates excuses, rationalizations, and explanations for failure, that's where they come in. So it's time to take responsibility. It's time to be at cause. They, you know, all this exists within us. It's not outside of us. These feelings that are created, this the self-doubt and all of the other self-sabotage and fear, they're inside of us, in our minds. So again, let's make our mind our ally rather than our enemy. Be proactive. Take responsibility. And what you have to understand is that we can control these things. We have control over our internal state. So the point is, be aware. Be aware of what's going on in your mind body. Whenever you change something in your mind, it's going to manifest in your physiology, and vice versa. And I can go into that another time. I can speak a whole day just on that topic alone. And I know we're running out of time now, so I'd like to leave you with that thought. And that thought is that it is important that we take responsibility. You take responsibility for who you are and why you are here. Allow yourself the joy and the excitement of doing what you are here to do, to be the best that you can be and beyond, and to do so in that synergenetic flow that aligns every aspect of your being so that you can shine as the brilliant stars that you are, knowing that your internal voice, that your identity, that everything that you are has a beautiful purpose, and that when you can control that inner voice, you are taking charge of your own mission here. So shine and be that brilliant star that you are. And thank you for allowing me to share this with you this evening.
Marilene, thank you so very, very much. That was I can't even think of the word to describe it. Powerful information. While you were wrapping it up, I had a thought come to mind. In America, tomorrow is Independence Day, and I was thinking with the golden nuggets and the tidbits of information that you shared tonight and the tools that you gave us, it's it, it it's perfect because tomorrow is the celebration of Independence Day, and with the tools and the suggestions and the insights that you gave us, that tomorrow we could, if we start mm-hmm. applying these tools immediately, we could actually allow ourselves to experience our own independence beginning tomorrow.
Exactly. Beautiful. It's all about freedom, because when we know ourselves, when we are aware, oh, there's that hopeful. I was trying to cut that off. That will go off.
That's okay.
When we are aware, we have that self-awareness. That is that freedom, which we is a God-given gift, which somehow in the course of our journey through life, many of us forget to express.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And something else that Wyatt had shared in one of the presentations that I had listened to was that you have control over that dialogue easier than you think, but you are the one who gets to decide what tape recorder is running through your head. And so when you said, everybody knows Donald Duck, immediately when you made that suggestion, Donald Duck's voice came into my head, mm-hmm. and I realized I could play Donald Duck. And when you were talking about the critical voice, we all have one. I took that and then I ran it through, and I actually laughed inside listening to my critical voice, and it put a smile on my face, and it changed my physiology. It gave me energy. And I noticed Ben shared that when you had made the comment to think of the critical voice, without realizing it, he had put his head in his hands because he was listening to that tape recorder.
Interesting.
And yeah, and so the physiological change is just amazing.
Excuse me, it may be subtle or it may be very obvious, and that's where it's important to become self-aware, to begin observing the changes that occur in the body when something changes in your internal voice.
Absolutely. What I wanted to share, because I do know time is short, and so thank you so very, very much for coming in. I am going to, for everybody that's here, Marilyn has suggested a couple times that if you guys would like to have another session, she has so graciously offered to come back. She would like to know any questions that you guys have. So if you would you please type them into the chat box? Not that we're going to address them tonight, but I suggested that we could ask some great questions about what she could expand upon. So I would like to invite you to add questions into the chat box now that we'll talk about in the background. There's not a set date for another session if you guys would like, and the comments that are coming in are just fantastic. Thank you, everybody. Dr. Mark, I think his computer had acted up, but he did ask a question earlier as to, can fear or lack of it propel somebody forward?
Yes, it's a really good question. Fear is different for many different people. And for example, in working with some of the athletes, fear can actually be a trigger, a motivating tool to allow them to achieve the goal, whatever that may be, getting that three-point shot in, or diving off the 10-meter platform, or getting a hole in one, whatever that task may be. Fear, depending on the context, see, everything is contextual. And when you are operating out of fear, remember that it is your perception, your creation of fear that needs to be monitored. What I mean by that is if someone is afraid of, let's see, what would be a good fear among people in your group? What is a common fear that you've found?
I believe the biggest fear amongst this group, because we deal in offline helping business owners, and Alicia is sharing public speaking, that confrontation of interacting with people. We want to help business owners get exposure on the internet, but we would like to actually be not involved it live one-on-one. My personality is I can go out, I can shake hands with anybody and introduce myself and strike up a conversation. Most people are not as extroverted as I am, and so I think that's a common denominator.
Yes,
amongst
it is.
The group. Okay.
You see, public speaking, for whatever reason, more people fear public speaking than taxes and death, as they say. And it's really a question, again, of aligning the mind-body, because what is creating the fear? It's perception. And what we're doing by monitoring the mind, we're creating guides. We're creating perception. We're monitoring the gates of perception. So when it comes to public speaking or in working with the clients one-on-one, the customers, it's important to be able to have not just an internal voice that's supportive. There are other factors that come into play which we don't have time to go into tonight. I'll simply focus on the internal voice. Affirmations really play a part here in terms of setting the stage for the task at hand. And there's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to affirmations. I've had clients come to me and say, oh yeah, I have this coach who told me, you know, gave me these affirmations and they didn't work. Well, they didn't work, one, because they weren't contextually applicable to the task at hand, and two, they were not in the present moment, and three, they were negative. And again, if you're going to be using negation, the subconscious mind doesn't compute negation, so you're going to be telling yourself things to do that you don't want to do. So, and it happens so much.
Yes.
It's mind-boggling.
Yes, and we'll wrap this up. I was just thinking of how many times I've gone in for a big meeting, and that chatter will start with, boy, you know, I sure hope you don't blow this, or, you know, you aren't mm-hmm. going to be able to pull this off or something. And I know I've completely turned it around myself on occasion by adding the words "what if" to the beginning. What if I don't go to this meeting? I'm definitely going to blow it. What if I don't interact with these? I'll never get that client. So it's the "what if I don't" precede, and I just add it. So how exciting.
May just one comment there. What you're saying also connects with motivational strategies, which I didn't get into tonight. But there's a whole series of, I mean, there's a lot of information I can share with you on and how to motivate yourself, and they're different ways in which we motivate ourselves, and everyone knows about the science of carrots and sticks. Well, there's different types of carrots and sticks, and it's really important to know which carrot or stick motivates us to take action and move forward.
Exactly.
That's a whole other thing.
What I'm going to do, since our hour is up, I am going to get this rendered, this recording rendered, and I will get it distributed as soon as I possibly can to everybody. And Marilyn, thank you so very, very, very much for the wonderful tools for a brand new Independence Day for everybody.
Thank you. I thank all of you, and have a wonderful Independence Day, and really relish in that newfound freedom.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Wes.
You're welcome. Thank you. I will connect with you. I know you have company tonight, tomorrow. I will connect with you Friday, Saturday-ish, somewhere in there, and I will get a copy of this recording to you also, okay?
Excellent. Thank you, and thank all of you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.